Tommy, the 6D that I, you know, that we'll probably see in the playoffs, going back at it tonight, hasn't been talked about a lot, but, we haven't seen Chris Russell since the hit from Matthew Tkachuk.
Yeah, and maybe a little bit concerning, but if Dave Tippett is comfortable with Caleb Jones and happy certainly with Kulikov and the way he's kind of amalgamated himself into the lineup and gotten acclimated with the group, then that buys Chris Russell some time, but you probably want to, as a fan, see him at least skating. And maybe by the end of next week, Greg's, it's a different story. But right now, I mean, this is a guy that's proven time and time again how tough he is. He takes punishment. He dishes it out a little bit from time to time. Doesn't back down from anything. So something seriously bothering him if he's not even on the ice and we're not seeing him practicing on a game day. But I'm sure as soon as he's good to go, he'll be back out there. And again, he's depth, right? But he's been pretty solid this season. And if Jones continues to play well, then you can breathe a sigh of relief, I think.
Yeah, well, it's nice to have depth. You definitely need it. No question about it. You just look historically for a defense. If you want to go deep in the playoffs, you probably need 8 D-men for the most part. That's how it is. 7 or 8 for sure. I love Dave Tippett today. I'm not sitting out Connor McDavid. McDavid wants to play. And McDavid told me this when we interviewed him about it. He's like, when I asked him about March, like, you know, he likes playing more frequently, likes to get into a rhythm. And I just couldn't imagine Dave Tippett. Hey, Connor, we're going to sit you out on the 15th. Pardon? No. Like, that wasn't going over. Now, he can reduce his minutes. Sure. And I'm sure he will. But I expect McDavid to play 16, 18, 19 minutes here. And for him, like, that's easy minutes.
Let him do that. And I don't, you know, I understand where the notion of, hey, sit him out, rest him up for the playoffs, don't risk anything. But that's the kid gloves, right? That's a little too much in the safe direction. So I don't think it would go over well if you suggested to Connor McDavid, we're going to rest you and dial it back and not play you at all. He doesn't want that. Let him go and do his thing. If he can get points, especially in pursuit of 100, get that out of the way, Greggs, as soon as possible. And then maybe if the team's in a good situation through the first couple of periods in the next 5 games, you don't have to play him as much in the third period. Even if you're down, let's say Saturday, Monday, Wednesday, next Saturday, again, you can reduce them to, like you said, 16 to 20, something comfortable. Don't go too crazy and don't play them 27 minutes like we've seen at times this year. And that's just fine. Just go into the playoffs at a good pace. Don't go crazy and try to do something too irregular and mix up the good flow and mojo that this team has going right now.
Tom Cazzola joins us on Edmonton Sports Leader TSN 1260. Tommy, let's step closer. Like, I think a lot of people are like, hey, I'll take Winnipeg for sure. I think Winnipeg, they actually probably have better top six forwards, but the way they play matches up better for the Oilers than the way Montreal played. I still think the Oilers could beat Montreal. I just think Winnipeg's a better stylistic matchup for Edmonton.
Completely fair. I mean, they want to go run and gun with the Oilers. They have the horses in Winnipeg. There's no denying that when it comes to their offensive ability and the depth that they have up front. And you saw Lowry yesterday with a couple of goals, some nice ones. He's back up and running, so that should be a concern if you're an Oilers fan, and they do indeed play the Winnipeg Jets. But Paul Maurice's group and his coaching staff are willing to do that open 200-foot north-south game with the Oilers, and it's led to a lot of success for Edmonton. And if that's what we see in the playoffs, Greggs, I like the Oilers' chances a lot. And the one thing, even though there is still a little bit of time left and a few games left for all of these teams in the North Division, if the Oilers do wind up playing Montreal, do they adjust? And I keep saying it, but that's what I'm curious to see. And maybe next week will be an indicator as to how, if that scenario does pop up and we watch those two games against the Habs, if Edmonton maybe tries something a little bit of different strategy-wise going against them. But we'll see. Still a couple games before we get to that point. But indeed, I mean, if they want to open it up, the Oilers in Winnipeg, by all means, let's witness it, because A, it's worked out for Edmonton during the regular season, and B, I mean, that'll be fun to watch just an absolute shootout both ways at both ends of the rink in the postseason. You want to talk about gut-wrenching and exhilarating at the same time, like you were saying off the top, that would certainly provide that.
Buchnevich just coming down, one game suspension for his cross check to the face of Anthony Mantha. Minute I saw it, I was like, "Oh, this is gonna be Ranger fans are just gonna lose it because Wilson gets nothing." But that's a pretty obvious cross. Like, I know people were saying, "Well, Mantha was giving him love taps, trying to get him to go, and he doesn't, and then he cross checks him in the face." Like, hey, yeah. If you want to, and you know what, Buchnevich, as Struds would say, guess what, it was worth it for him. You know,
right.
he made, if you're going to get suspended for a game, then you might as well make it worthwhile.
Exactly. I know, like, the irony in it. Last night, the fireworks on the ice, the fireworks off the ice, the fallout today. My goodness, what a saga that this has been over the last couple of days. But I admire Buchnevich for actually sticking up for himself against Mantha, big, you know, dude that can probably carry himself quite well in a situation like that, especially against a Russian guy like Buchnevich, who's not the biggest and is known for his skill. Yes, Strutty got his money's worth, and he'll serve a suspension. I'd rather see him do something like that, or any player, rather, than turtling or getting involved and then just looking for the official or the linesman to jump in there while getting caved in and having your face punched multiple times like we've seen before. I still point out Marchand and Eller, when Eller wouldn't even protect himself and Marchand just punched him in the head a bunch of times. And then the worst one was Domi on Ekblad a couple of years ago. Same thing. It's like, why are you looking for the linesman to jump in? Protect yourself until they do. And at least Buchnevich goes and he gives it to Mantha because he got fed up. I'm okay with that. It's a suspension, yes, indeed. The irony and all of that's gone on between these two clubs, I get that too. But good for Buchnevich for sticking up for himself and feeding it to Mantha with his stick.
What'd you think of the overall game?
Okay, I mean, Oshie capping it off with the hat trick is phenomenal. And hopefully that's not lost on people. Given the loss of his father, I think that is fitting, and guys rise to the occasion at the right time. I love the reaction from his teammates. Beautiful. The start of the game, highly entertaining. I love that stuff. I know a lot of people don't, and I was pleasantly surprised that the New York Rangers were willing to do that. I thought it would be, like I said yesterday, three skinny, fast guys from Nintendo Ice Hockey going up against a bunch of bigger, stronger guys and getting thrown around. But good on the Rangers for toughening up. And you know, I loved Mark Messier's quote. I'm glad you read it out on the Chronicles yesterday. And that was highly entertaining. Good to see some fight in some skilled players like that. And you know what, Greggs, to me, that's hockey, baby.
You know what? It doesn't happen very often. I have no issue with it. It was, and the thing that I liked about it is, you know, you had guys that it wasn't a bunch of big heavyweights. It was lots of guys just trying to send a message. So here's the thing, because I had a lot of people saying, well, if Peros had suspended Wilson, this wouldn't have happened. I actually disagree with that. I think the Rangers, because of what had happened, Panarin, even if Wilson wasn't playing, they felt like we got to get our pound of flesh here because Panarin's still out. And there was lots of people, Mark Messier and others, saying, hey, this team isn't built. You know, they don't have enough intestinal fortitude. So I felt like they wanted to send a message, just say, hey, we got to do this to ourselves. And I respect that because, you know, eventually, just like we tell our kids, like, you know, you always say, hey, you know what? Someone's bullying you. Say, hey, stop it. Try to be nice. But eventually, you might have to slug them one. You know what? I remember my mother, who's not a violent person at all, you know, that was the last. She goes, hey, you give him a warning twice. If it keeps happening, the third one, and she goes, you hit him hard enough so they don't get up. And, you know, you're a kid, and you're just like, okay. Like, not that I fought lots, but I always remembered that, right? Like, you'd be nice to Ferd, but eventually you got to stand up for yourself.
Oh, Mrs. Gregor with some wisdom there. I like that. And that's fair. And, again, kudos to the Rangers for doing that. And the other thing is Wilson ended up leaving the game, and the irony in all of that as well. It's just the turn of events and the drama and the saga and all of this. It's been so entertaining, and you're just like, what's going to happen next? And good on, you saw Ryan Strome fight yesterday. Like, when is Ryan Strome really going to fight? Unless he has to. And I think that's a good indicator as well. Good on the Rangers. And I like that. And I agree with you as well. I think regardless of the fine, the lack of suspension to Wilson, just out of sheer principle, I think the Rangers would have had a response. I don't know if it would have blown up like that, but there would have definitely been a response. And I like that they stuck up for themselves. I will reiterate that one more time.
Yeah, you know what? Good for them, for sure. Tommy Cazzola joins us in Edmonton Sports Hitter, TSN 1260. Albert Pujols, end of an era.
Yeah.
Sounds like he's going to get released from the Angels.
Yeah, you know what? 21 years in the bigs, incredible. And he might not be done. Sounds like he still wants to play, and maybe Tony La Russa wants to bring him on in Chicago with the Sox. But that's tough, Greggs, because I think three of his last seven hits have been dingers. Now he's not hitting for percentage, certainly. His numbers are down. The guy's 41 years old. But this guy's been a superstar basically since he made it to the show. And I think he made it out of Double A. I think he skipped Triple A entirely, if I can recollect correctly, back in 2001. And it'd be too bad if he faded away like this and didn't get an opportunity to just close out the season as a DH or something like that. He has had a tremendous career, and it came as a surprise, and apparently it came above Joe Maddon too. This was a management call as opposed to the manager's call. And so we'll see what happens, but if this is it for Albert Pujols, man, a stellar career. He seems like, In an era, especially with the steroid and the Barry Bonds stuff and all the allegations, and this, he started playing while guys like Jose Canseco were writing their books. I still have Juiced. It's sitting on my shelf. It was a great book. Jose Canseco is a weird guy, and it kind of opened up everything during the steroid era. And that's when Pujols kind of came in, when that controversy was happening. And he's been one of those guys that's been like a consummate pro and consistently exceptional his entire career. Hopefully he gets a chance to go out on his own terms. This is certainly not the way he wants to go out, but man, maybe a team picks him up, but he has been a hell of a ball player for 21 seasons.
Yeah, he has been for sure. So I could see another team picking him up though. I wouldn't be surprised by that. So yeah. We'll see. But they designated him for assignment, so it could be the end of an era for sure. One last one for you. When you look around the NHL, Tommy, and you know what? All the playoff spots are virtually done. Nashville's 4 points up on Dallas. Basically, if they win one of their remaining three games, Nashville gets in because Dallas can't catch them then in regulation wins. Montreal needs a point. You know, they're going to get in because Calgary's not winning all five of their games, I wouldn't think, anyway, nor is Vancouver. So I don't know if you watched the Vegas-Minnesota game last night, but like, the Minnesota Wild, everyone's talked so much about Colorado and Vegas, and Minnesota is only 1 point behind Colorado, who gassed the 2-0 lead and lost to San Jose last night. Like, is Minnesota going to be a surprise team in the playoffs, or once they get in against Colorado or Vegas, they're not beating either one?
That's a good question. I love Cam Talbot. He's a good dude. I enjoyed him when he was here, and I hope he has success professionally. But that's a tall task against either the Avs or the Vegas Golden Knights. It looks like it'll probably be the Avs. If Greggs, I think Minnesota can knock off Colorado if they get to the Avs goaltending. I think that is Colorado's Achilles heel still. Grubauer, outstanding season. Dubnyk, good pickup for insurance between the pipes. I like him way more than I like Pavel Francouz as a backup goalie. But if Minnie can find a way to get to Grubauer and maybe Dubnyk, I think that's their key to success in knocking off the Avalanche. Because I still, for whatever reason, when I look at those two between the pipes for the Avs, I go, I think that's where you can get to them, because otherwise that is a hell of a lineup in Colorado. So if Minnie can get them offensively and find a way to beat Grubauer, whatever his weakness may be, I think that might be their key to success, and that would be how they pull it off.
It's gonna be fun to watch, man. I am so excited for the playoffs this year because of all these teams have met each other all year long. You know, when the playoffs start, it's gonna be at minimum the ninth game that these teams have faced off. And then, of course, in the north, 10th, possibly the 11th if Toronto plays Montreal. Like, amazing. There's going to be such good rivalries. I think there's going to be more intensity. I think the games are going to be ratcheted up. It's going to be awesome. We'll be a little jealous here in the Canada because we won't have any fans in the stands, but you'll see fans in some of those buildings. And even when it's 2,000, 4,000, whatever the number is, like, they're going to get into it, man. It's going to be great to watch. I can't wait.
Me too. And Greg's, some people have called the North the NFC East of the NHL, which is ridiculous. I've seen it on my show a few times. I'm sure it's come across the inbox on your show as well. But I'm going to love watching these interdivisional playoff matchups. And then when we finally see cross-divisional matchups, then we'll know what the divisions truly were like, I think. It'll give us a better taste.
That's really only coming out of the States. It's quite laughable. Like, I don't know, go look at the bottom three teams in the West. Really, the bottom four teams in the West. Go look at the bottom four teams in the Central. Like, give me a break.
I know.
And that's okay. It's fine. Toronto and Edmonton, Montreal and Winnipeg. Like, I will say this. The other big intriguing part of the playoffs is you get to that third round and you've never faced these teams all year long. That's going to be quite exciting in itself. So.
I can't wait.
Yeah. Awesome. Okay, Tommy, have a good pregame show. We'll tune in at 6 o'clock tonight. Oilers taking on the Vancouver Canucks again.
Thanks, Greg. See you tonight.